Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thanks so much for being with us. At least it's evening here. It could be any time that you're listening, wherever you are. And that's a whole lot of fun because I know people all over the world listen at their convenience. So thank you so much for taking some time with us. My guest tonight is Dawn Noel Schmidt, who does some fascinating work, and we'll be talking to her in just a few minutes after tonight's metaphysical musing. And what else could I possibly talk about but the craziness that's going on with the world about the Syrian refugees and, of course, the attack in Paris, which is related. The issue of refugees and the issue of people being different from us and therefore scary is not a new issue. The original stories that came out of Paris made it sound like, and there was some crazy evidence intentionally left behind. There was a fake passport. It took them a couple of days to confirm that it was not a real Syrian passport. But the story that they wanted told was that it was Syrian refugees that attacked Paris. Turns out they were all Europeans. They were all from Belgium and France. Of course, that didn't stop the xenophobic Republicans in my country from immediately scaring everybody that they could and saying, oh, we can't have refugees from Syria. They could be terrorists. And how can we possibly, you know, all of the stuff that they have always done, all the fear messages. And there were several bits of information that showed up about other times when the United States has rejected refugees. And the obvious time was World War II. Probably everybody who's listening in school at one time or another has read the diary of Anne Frank, who was a Jew who was a teenager and was hidden by a family in Holland to keep her safe from the Nazis. And they eventually found her, and all of them wound up in the concentration camps and died. The bit of information that just showed up is that the reason that her family had to hide and that they died was that they had applied for a visa for refugee status in the United States, and they were rejected. Very poignant at this particular moment in time. That's a story that so many people know about what went on in the mind of this innocent young girl caught up in this craziness. The other story that I knew about but came up again was that at the very beginning of World War II, a ship with 1,000 Jewish refugees got to Florida. And they wouldn't let them, they wouldn't give them refugee status, and they didn't let them in. And the ship went back to Europe, and half of the people on the ship died in the concentration camps. So there's a history of my country freaking out when there's any kind of stressful situation and the subject of refugees come up. Back in World War II, the issue, the big scary word was they could be spies. And now the big scary word is they could be terrorists. One of the people who's been making everybody very afraid was Chris Christie, who's a presidential candidate of sorts. And he was totally flabbergasted on TV when he was being interviewed, and the person interviewing him said, no, the people who did the attack in Paris were not from Syria. They were from Europe. He had no idea. It was shocking to him. But it doesn't matter, because you can manipulate people by telling them to be afraid. And it's the easiest way to manipulate people. Fear is everywhere. It's used for everything. They just use it again for this. And the thing about that is that people die. There's a film going around on the internet from a Christian group that has volunteers that meet the rubber boats full of refugees when they arrive on the small islands off of Greece. These are little rubberized, motorized boats with overloaded with people in life jackets, most of them little children and their parents. And the children are passed by the parents to these strangers that they don't know to get them onto dry land while everybody else scrambles out. And it's absolutely heart-wrenching to watch the things that people are doing to escape Syria are absolutely amazing. And there are some people that are helping them. And it is an overwhelming situation. And it's a situation that was caused by the policies of my country. We made the mess that caused the war and arranged for the beginnings of Daesh, ISIL, and caused all these people to have to run for their lives. So it is with tremendous respect for the refugees and a lot of shame for what some people are doing in my country that I encourage everybody to extend love to people in trouble, whoever they are and whatever kind of trouble it is. We're all in this together. Ram Dass has this wonderful saying, we're all just walking each other home. And we forget that a lot. So many blessings to all the refugees. I hope that the people who are afraid and doing stupid things that put others in jeopardy get a grip, and that we can help these people that are terrified and have nothing. It's just mind-boggling. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. not quite as uplifting, perhaps, as they often are. So let's meet tonight's guest. Dawn Noel Schmidt is somebody I've actually met because she lives about an hour away from me. Dawn, thanks so much for being on the show.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about all the wonderful things that you do, because I got a little bit of a briefing. So the first thing I always ask everybody is, how did you wind up doing this? How did your life unfold? What was that path that led you to what you're doing now?
Well, that's a good question. It was not a smooth, easygoing path, as it generally isn't when you enter into healing work.
It never is.
I was very, very sensitive child, which I now understand to be as an empath. So it was difficult. I took on a lot of emotion I was very misunderstood for being so sensitive. I always knew I had a strong purpose. I never felt like I fit in. I knew there was something here I was meant to do, and it was a struggle to find out what it was. And I actually started early in life consulting psychics. And there were some good, some bad. I had a psychic tell me when I was younger that I'm a healer. And at that age, I had no clue what she meant. I knew I didn't want to be a doctor or a nurse, and I couldn't figure out how else I could heal people. So I went on with my life, working jobs that did not fulfill me and still knowing that I had a stronger purpose. And it got to a point where I had to leave everything I worked for to find out what that was. and my life became crisis and chaos. And I did not really know how to get out of that. I knew how, that there was something, but I didn't know how to reach it. And so I started consulting psychics again. And they were all telling me, you need to do Reiki. And I kept saying, I don't know what that is, and I have too much to deal with right now to figure that out.
Right.
So, and then they were saying, you need to do Reiki for animals, because animals have been my passion all my life. I very much communicate with animals, sometimes better than with humans. And so after the third psychic telling me that in the course of probably 2 years, I said, okay, you know what? Enough people are saying this. This is how the angels talk to us. They send messages through others. I'm going to go to a Reiki class. And I had no idea what it was. And within minutes, I was transformed. I saw light in my life. I felt the magic of the Reiki energy run through my body before we even did Reiki healing on each other, before we even knew what it was. My teacher was writing it on the board. I felt all the pain in my body, the chronic pain, disappear from my head to my feet. And my teacher was writing on the board that Reiki can, from a scale, it's relaxation at the lowest point of the scale, which is pretty good, and spontaneous miracle at the highest end of the scale. And I just raised my hand and said, I think I just had one. So it was very, I very much walked out of there not really understanding how it worked, which for a Capricorn can be a little confusing and frustrating because we're so logical. And but I didn't need to know how it worked. I felt it. I knew it worked, and I wanted to share it immediately. And so I went down that path, became a Reiki master teacher, and that opened many, many, many doors for me. There's so much that I've learned and that I want to continue to learn. And it's all a matter of helping other people find their happiness, because that's what my life was, looking for my happiness.
So you took the Reiki class, but I know at some point you made a major move in your life.
When I was, I moved here from New York in 1994, not really knowing why I moved to Massachusetts. I came with my ex-husband, and he loved railroads. So he applied to about 30 of them, and we were willing to go to whichever one hired him. And we ended up, he ended up working out of South Deerfield. So he pretty much brought me to the answer. Unfortunately, he is next, because I did have to leave to actually find that answer. But then I found my teacher, and it all made sense. It's everything that I went through the 20 years I was in Massachusetts led me to that day. And so that was a big move for me, because I wanted a new adventure, and I had no idea what was ahead when I moved to Massachusetts.
And so you started studying Reiki with your teacher here, but you also studied other things, right?
Yes, she offered many classes, and I was very excited about all of them. I went to angel school. I studied angels. I do angel readings. I went to Akashic Records school, so I am certified to read Akashic Records, and I do that often. And it helps people find clarity in their lives. So the work I'm doing is bringing them healing, mind, body, and soul, and also animal communication, because the animals need a voice. And I have always wanted to be that voice and didn't really know how, you know, with the different types of chronic pain I had, I was limited to how I could work with animals. And that did start in New York, when I worked in a kennel at an animal hospital. And it was probably the most physically demanding, hardest job of my life, but the most rewarding, because the animals taught me what they needed. They taught me how to communicate with them. I took the time. I would sit on the floor and communicate with them, ask them, what do you need? How can I get you from point A to point B? Mm-hmm. Because I understood that they were in a situation that was fearful. They were removed from their homes. They were put in a cage. You know, they were in a room with other barking dogs and cats and, you know, confusion. So I would spend the extra time there and really get to know them and let them get to know me. We would connect our energy, connect our thoughts. And so the animals taught me. And I guess I didn't really realize the whole time I was doing animal communication until I got older and found out there was a name for it.
And that people were looking for it.
Yes. And it's great because, you know, so many people think that animals communicate like humans, and they don't. You know, they have a very, they're so connected to the universe and to being one and the unconditional love and living in the now. Like, the animals are at a higher energy vibration. So to be around them and in their presence can only be uplifting. And that in and of itself brings joy. But once you understand what they're trying to tell you, that brings a whole level to your relationship with your animal or pet. So I'm able to help humans and animals communicate by telling them what their animals are feeling and thinking. And they give me lots of information, and sometimes they give me shopping lists. You know, they want a new toy. They want a warm blanket. You know, they want a different kind of food. So, and right. I can also get into the animal's body, find out if there's any aches or pains. You know, is there anything that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, it's I've known some other animal communicators, and some of the stories are pretty funny.
They are. They're great.
Especially when the animals start giving personal information about their owners.
Yes, that's, you know, it's a joy, it really is.
But we won't go there.
I know everyone's secrets now.
Right. I think I told you this. I dated a woman who was an animal communicator for a while. So there was an ongoing conversation between her and her two cats. And, you know, we talk about how she did it, and she did a bunch of other healing modalities, and obviously so do I. And at some point at the breakfast table, I could hear one of her cats. I could hear his thoughts. And he looked at me and looking confused. And the first clear thing I heard was, oh, God, he can hear me, too.
Yes, especially with cats. You know, they like to maintain that independent thinking on their own.
I think they can trick you. Yeah, you weren't tricking me before either, but yeah, gotcha.
That's fantastic. You know, and so one thing that I've really learned that animals willingly take on their owner's problems, their fears, their anxieties. I've seen it with my own pets. They react to your energy. They want to help you. They're in your life with a soul contract to help you with these problems. So the animal will take on these anxieties and behavioral issues. And that's when people start to say, my animal is a problem. Well, you have to kind of, yes, the animal might be bringing problems if you weren't the only owner. They can bring problems from their past, and that can be healed and they can be rehabilitated. But if they're taking on any problems from you, then you start to need to look at, how am I behaving? What is my animal getting from me? And so that's another way I can help people is, you know, they can tell me what they're taking on. And again, they do it willingly. This is why they are in our lives. But we can ease that by correcting our behavior. And in a perfect world, I would love to treat the animal and the human so that they're both in perfect balance, so that they're communicating, so that they're in peace, so they have serenity, and so they're both happy, so they're both living with joy.
And you can do that with both the animal communication and with the using Reiki, because you do Reiki on animals, right?
absolutely, animals love Reiki. What happens is I can do Reiki from a distance, and that's just as effective as a hands-on treatment. With a hands-on treatment, although the animals do love the Reiki energy, they need a little bit of time to get to know me first, know my energy first, but I give them Reiki the whole time that I'm with them. So once they start to relax into it, and the owners can see this, that they become less on guard. You'll see that they're not noticing outside noises. They lay down a little bit. Eventually they'll put their head on the floor, and that's when I know I've got them. That's when mm-hmm. I know they're truly relaxed into the energy. And before you know it, they're usually sleeping. So I mean, a lot of people and animals fall asleep when I work on them. So it is completely relaxing. It's a very, very calm, gentle feeling. And since the animals are already in tune with the universal energy, which is what Reiki is, the universal energy working through me into their energy, that they have no fear of that. They don't question it. They just relax into it.
What's the politically correct term for the human? It's no longer supposed to call them owners.
I know. I go back and forth on that too. I mean, animal, human, owner, pets. Like, we all know what we're talking about.
Right, exactly.
Really,
companion.
Your pet. Right. Your pet pretty much owns you, right? Because you're working for them. So we might want to switch that to owner and human.
Well, certainly cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. What I've learned for me with cats is I need to be the alpha cat. I don't appreciate them trying to be the alpha. I expect clear communication. You know, if you do the passive aggressive thing with me, I'm not going to appreciate it. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And,
so a lot of cats, we have to come to an understanding.
Yes, cats. I mean, and when I work with cats, they definitely need a lot of time to get used to my energy as well. But with animal Reiki, even if I'm in the same room, you know, mm-hmm. I respect. I've worked on cats that won't let me go near them, and I respect that. That's their boundary. I can do Reiki from 10 feet away. I can do it from a different state, you know, so I could still be in a room with someone's pet and give them Reiki without touching them. Really, touching them is more fun for me because I love animals and I want to touch them.
And then the cats, when you do that, kind of give you that stare and tilt their head to one side. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they try to stare me down, but they give me messages, and I give them messages back, and we work as a team. I respect their boundaries. They respect mine. You know,
right.
That's all you can ask for.
Right. We're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes. I want to make sure people know how to find you online. What's your website?
Okay. My website is onespiritintuitivehealing.com, and I know that's a long one, but you know, there's a lot of people who already have One Spirit out there. Surprisingly, I thought it was my genius idea.
I actually know two people that have One Spirit as part of their.
It's One Spirit is a multi-level name for me. It's got a lot of levels, and it just totally suits my business and myself.
So tell us again, One Spirit.
OneSpiritIntuitiveHealing.com.
Fantastic. So I want to hear, when we come back, I want to hear more about the angel readings and the Akashic Record readings. All of that stuff is fascinating as well. So we will hear more about that. So it's almost time for the break. We will be back shortly, unless of course we get taller. Mike, My guest is Dawn Noel Schmidt, and she's an animal communicator and psychic reader. And this is the Farkas Files, and don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Dawn Noel Schmidt, who does fascinating work, including animal communication. And we thought the sassy public service announcement was totally appropriate. A boy animal communicator and his snarky dog.
You gotta love it.
I don't know if you grew up on Lassie, but if you actually watched the Lassie TV show, it's hysterical. So,
well, I also thought your intro was very appropriate too, with, you know, talking about love, because we really do forget that that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. We're loving loving spiritual energy beings that we need to remember that. And especially because it's so hard for people to ask for help. When people ask, you know, we have to do everything we can to give it. It's all about kindness.
Yes. And it's fascinating to me how people can find an incredible array of excuses not to be kind. Anyway.
I agree.
But I wanted to hear more about angel readings and Akashic Record readings.
Okay. Well, angels, I've been fascinated with angels all of my life. And I was very excited to find out there was actually angel school. So when I went, I learned a lot. Even though I thought I already knew everything I needed to know about angels, there's so much more that we need to know. And the number one lesson with angels is they are around us and they are trying to help us, but they cannot help us unless we ask. So
exactly.
That's the tricky part. And humans don't like asking for help. So, a lot of the time we don't. It was a big lesson for me. I thought I had to do everything myself all the time. And I realized, I talk to my angels every day now. You can ask your angels for anything. You can ask them for a parking spot. You can ask them for a certain amount of money. You can ask them for miracles and you'll get them. You know, you look, ask them for signs, ask them for messages. They'll come. But as long as what you're asking for is in alignment with your highest good and healing. So we might not always get what we want, but we get what we're supposed to have. And so it's really a big lesson because they are always trying to give us signs and messages. But like with my Reiki, you know, people kept saying it and I wasn't hearing it until right. I actually thought about it. So, I mean, the angels were trying to work with me and they were beating me in the head to like get that message across.
Well, they also have a funny sense of humor. I once demanded a sign and the next day I had a sign painting job. So, yeah.
They do. The angels are fantastic. I love having them around me all the time. And you do have to be specific, like you said.
Right. So if there is either a pun or something that you were not clear about, they will point mm-hmm. that out in the funniest way they possibly can.
So. Yeah. Teachings and learning. So we learn from our angels as well as each other. So what I do is I do angel card reading, and the angel cards, it's a way that the angels can communicate through me, the angels and guides, to the person that I'm reading for. So they offer very loving guidance on your life path, and it's as simple as asking the angels, what do you want me to know today? And the answers are always relevant, and they always make sense, and people always walk away feeling happy. They feel good because they feel loved and they feel like they got the answers they were looking for, sometimes not even knowing, you know, that was what they were looking for.
Right.
So it brings a lot of clarity and good feelings, and we all want to feel good. And we all want loving guidance. We all want loving advice. You know, nobody wants criticism and judgments, and so the angels don't judge. They're complete love, just being filled with complete love and light and looking out for our best interest. And so in that way, I'm able to help others and bring a little bit of happiness into their lives.
So for people that have never seen angel cards, it's a lot like tarot cards in that it's something that you can ask a question and pick cards to see what what answer comes up.
Yes.
And, you know, it's those oracle systems are absolutely fascinating to me. There are different ones all over the world. Different readers are attracted to working with different kinds of cards or other tools. And it's all just a way of working with the energy to get a message.
Absolutely. I probably have about 10 decks of cards. It's a small addiction. I'm still working on that collection.
I understand. But. Well, one of my teachers was trained in the Philippines, and their way of doing getting a message, you know, using something as an oracle, was to close their eyes and open the Bible and point.
Oh,
they would just point to whatever was on the page and assume that the book would open to the right page, and they'd point to the right message for that moment. So you can do, you know, there are people that say, open any book, open the newspaper, you know, whatever. And if you can hear it, there will be relevant information. So the cards basically work the same way. You're asking a question, whether you're conscious of it or not.
Yes, and my favorite deck are the Archangel Oracle cards by Doreen Virtue. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that speak to me the clearest. So when I do readings for people, angel cards are generally three-card readings, past, present, future, or we also look at it as issue, advice, and resolution. So when I can look at the same card and I'll see something different for 50 different people. I mean, the angels are definitely... something will jump out, and whatever that person sees in that card is relevant. So any message that you receive is relevant. So even song lyrics, like you're saying, to open a book or a newspaper, absolutely, you can ask the angel, send me a message, open a book, put on a song. You know, you're going to get one.
I'm just laughing because I once said, you know, give me a message, and I heard turn on the radio. And I went to my truck and turned on the radio. And we don't have it anymore, but we used to have the Conelrad emergency test things. And as I turned the radio on, it said, this is a test.
That's great. You have some really, really great stories, David.
Yeah. It's an interesting life.
It is. You know, once you open your consciousness to all the possibilities, like, you see so many things, you hear so many things, right? And once you start looking at things this way, I swear, you know, you see miracles everywhere. Since I started talking to angels, I feel them with me. I feel their energy. You know, you just have to, it's a practice. It's a practice of working on finding your joy and asking for the help that you need.
So tell me a little bit about the Akashic Record readings, and why don't you explain your understanding of the Akashic Records, because different people express it differently.
Yeah, there are a lot of different definitions for Akashic Records. So the Akashic Book of Records, it's the individual records of a soul. So Akasha means life, and anything that's made of energy is life. And everything that's made of energy is recorded. So it's the field of energy that is recorded. It's recording every thought, every word, every emotion, every action, every intention you've had in all of your lives since you became energy. So it's maybe not everyone believes in past lives, but I've got a million stories about past lives. They come up often in people's readings. They come up often in mine. They can be affecting this life. So you could have blocks. You could have blocks from anything in this life, but you could have, when I do readings for people, sometimes the block comes up from past lives. So in an Akashic Record reading, the information will be relevant to where you are in your life now. It doesn't predict the future because honestly, no one can predict the future. We have free will. So we can predict probabilities. And
right.
So the psychic senses, really, we are using psychic senses. I'm getting messages from the record guide that they're giving me visions, they're giving me messages, they're giving me feelings. This is all relevant to the person that I'm reading for. So someone would bring me a list of questions, and I do have sample questions on my website. And you can ask anything. This is a dialogue between me, the client, and their records. The more questions you ask, the more answers you get. And so we start with a list, and then we can build on that as we go along. I can tell you that 99.9% of the time, you're going to walk out with clarity. You're going to feel like you know what your next steps are because you're asking what your next steps are. So your record guides are going to tell you. They're going to tell you what you need to do to remove the blocks in your life to get to your next step. And so when I first had my records read by my teacher, I had a million questions. And I was asking, where should I live? Where should I build my business? This and that. And the records told me, slow down. You have past life issues to fix. And I'm sitting there thinking, don't I have enough issues already? So once you find out that your past lives are affecting this life, you know, you can work on that to remove those blocks. And then you, it's like you're on your path. So it takes you really deep into your soul's healing journey. And it reminds you why you're here, what your purpose is. And so the records can help you at crossroads. They can help you determine why you're here, what your path is, help you find out what's blocking you from taking your next steps, determine how your past lives affect your present life, determine why you have specific problems or issues in this life, connect to those on the other side. I can also do mediumship in the records, and we can call for spirits to come forth. Of course, the spirits that have something to say are going to be the ones who come forward, but generally, I can get a little bit of information from any of them that we ask for. And you can also loosen and break out of old patterns. So this is, you can get a lot of information from your Akashic records. I open the records with a prayer, and then I open the records, and then we start asking the questions and getting the answers.
So, yeah, I often think of the Akashic records. The metaphor for the Akashic Records is the internet is a really puny attempt at creating an analog of the Akashic Records. Everything is connected to everything else. You can get to the information from anywhere. It's a matter of sorting out what you need and getting the right stuff, but it's basically the same idea. That everything has been recorded in a big matrix.
Yeah, some people find it easier to understand what the Akashic Records are by looking at it as a giant database. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I see my records, I see the books, so I look at it more as a book in a library. But if you want to look at it as a computer, you know, that's perfectly fine too. However, people can relate to it. And it's fascinating, you know, and again, they won't answer all the questions. You know, if there's something you don't need to know yet, you have to be okay with not knowing that, because that's where we fall into divine timing. Everything happens as it's supposed to. Everything is happening for a reason. And so what we really do, like, I ask my Akashic Records questions all the time, and it just helps me problem solve in my life. And it keeps me in balance, you know. And again, with the probabilities, so say you're trying to decide where to move, we can ask the record, should my client move here? Should my client move there? They'll give me some ideas on how you would feel about those moves, and then you make the decision. So if you move here, you'll find joy. If you move here, nothing will change, you know, something sort in that sort of way. And so we really are, when we're in the records, I like to say the Akashic Records give us homework. And it's easy. I mean, it's a little bit of self-care, and, you know, but they will tell you what you need to do to clear your path and continue on it. And that's really a good thing, but it means that we're taking accountability for our life path. And that's a good thing, too, to know that we have the power to move forward. We're not stuck. You know, we need someone else to tell us what we should be doing, because although we know ourselves, if you ask yourself, you know, what do you want and what makes you happy, you will give yourself an answer. But when we're in crisis mode, or we're struggling, or we feel stuck, we can't always find those answers. And the Akashic Records and the angels are very helpful in those situations.
Right. It's wonderful stuff. I also always love that the way that you have to talk about the future is really a whole lot like quantum physics. Mm-hmm. You can talk about probabilities, and an infinite number of probabilities, but you don't know which one of those will manifest, which one of those will matter.
Right, and some of them do and some of them don't. Right, I've talked to psychics and I've been like, well, that didn't happen, and I think, but this did. So I changed something
along the way. But it's what you give attention to and what choices you make.
Right.
So the only thing that any psychic can say, well, if you keep doing what you're doing, it's pointing over here.
Yes.
But you could make any number of other choices and it would turn out totally differently.
Absolutely. And then you're going to need another reading and find out what to do from then. Where do I go now?
Right. Yeah, I always, at various times, I hear the little voice from the GPS going, recalculating route.
I find the records very comforting. I go in the records and I see my dog from, he's been passed away for a long, long time, and he's in the records when I go in. I can call on my grandmother and my mother, two women who are very strong figures in my life. And, you know, it's a good way of knowing that we are really all connected. There is a really big purpose in this life. We are meant to be happy. We just have to allow that. So many of us, you know, we're taught to make other people happy and not take care of ourselves, and we're not taught to love ourselves. But once you start questioning what makes you happy, you're starting to be kind to yourself. You're starting to love yourself. You're starting to care. That's self-care. That's not selfish. We need to have strength within our own spirit, mind, and body in order to be able to help other people. And so we're all going through a healing process.
Exactly. Exactly. And any way that you can work with gaining more clarity by using the energy, however you tap into it, is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you've got a number of things that you can offer people.
And I'm not done yet.
Well, we got a few more minutes. What else you got?
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not done learning things yet. I plan to teach as well. I'm going to teach Reiki. There are a lot of things I want to teach. There are a lot of things I want to learn. You know, my head is spinning with all the possibilities of things that I can learn and teach others now. And it's a very happy life. It's a very rewarding life for me.
Yeah, it's doing this kind of work and learning about energy and how all this works is just fascinating. And
it is. It's a whole new world.
A whole new world. And there are so many people that think we're out of our minds, but they're missing all of the amazing things that are going on that they just don't believe could possibly be true. It's a matter of expanding, suspending disbelief and expanding your awareness and relaxing into another experience. And
most
people are busy, as I usually my usual snarky remark is, most people are busy drinking beer and watching reality TV.
You know, and it's funny once I started this, you know, being Capricorn, the logic-based sign, I've always done everything logical. Once I started following my intuition, making all my decisions intuition-based, I have never been happier. Like, your intuition will never steer you wrong. You have the answers within yourself to have a happy life. And once you step into this spiritual life, that is the reality. Like, it's almost hard to live in the normal world or whatever we would call it.
Right, consensual reality. Yeah. Yeah, it's
so, people might think we're crazy, but you know, I think that they could have a happier life sometimes if they just want to expand and learn.
Right.
I get criticized often by people who don't understand what I do, and all I ask is research what I do and then tell me, you know, your thoughts on it.
Right. Well, the metaphor I use is that most of the world is listening to AM radio, There isn't much on it. It's hard to tune in. It's got a lot of static. It's mostly country music and bad talk shows. And and then there are people that have broadband radios, and that's everything. Yeah. You know, radio has music from all over the world. You can talk to ham radio operators all over the world. There's the emergency bands. There's ships at sea. There's all this stuff, TV and cell phones. And, you know, there's all of this stuff there. And being emotionally and energetically broadband is very similar. There's all of this other stuff to tune into once you realize you can do it and learn how to do it. And you never go back to AM radio because there's not much there.
Never.
Right. And, you know, little kids are broadband. You know, so many kids are now born Indigo and Crystal children are born broadband, and they never give it up.
They're here to teach us, aren't they?
Right.
And we need to protect that. Life is hard. Life is a struggle, and it's meant to teach us. And so it's best if we kind of go with the flow and look for ways to look for the better feeling. I always tell people, what is the better feeling here? And, you know, I had to train myself to do that. I still ask myself that when I'm struggling with something. What is the better feeling? And anything that makes you feel better is the better feeling. And once you start thinking about that, you start feeling better. Right. So, I mean, you can get really stuck in the hardships of life, or you can look at what it's teaching you and think about what really makes you happy, and that pushes you through that moment.
Exactly. So as always happens, we're running out of time. We could keep going for another hour. My guest is Dawn Noel Schmidt, and tell us again what your website is.
OneSpiritIntuitiveHealing.com, and some of my work can be done over the phone. Some of my work can be done from a distance. And for people close by, they can visit me at the office where I work in Cheshire at Haven Holistic Healing Center.
Fantastic. Massachusetts. Fantastic. Dawn, thank you so much for being on the show. Stay on the line and we can chat a little bit when we go off the air. Again, my guest is Dawn Noel Schmidt. And she does all this amazing stuff. So thank you again for being on. If you got at all curious about this odd guy, David, who hosts the show, you can get more information at househealing.com and cleverly hiding on the contact tab in plain view is every way I could think of for you to contact me, including a scheduling calendar. I do a free 20-minute phone consultation to assess what's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, and see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more about the show, again, cleverly hiding in plain view, you can find it at thefarkasfiles.com. And we've been doing the show now for over 4.5 years, so there are hundreds of shows in the archive. And Empower Radio has programming 24/7. The Farkas Files is on every night at 9 p.m., one of the shows from the archive. And on Thursday, we record the new live show for the week. One of the exciting things that we now have for Empower Radio is a new mobile phone app. So go to empowerradio.com and check that out. And you can also find us on iTunes Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, and God knows where else. But if you just search for Empower Radio or the Farkas Files, you will find us because we're everywhere. And check out the other shows on Empower Radio. There are wonderful people with many different perspectives. Some of the shows are interviews. Others have different formats. And it's a wonderful way to have positive messages in the course of your day instead of the crazy negative stuff that tends to be what is around us all the time. So give that stuff up and listen to some good stuff. I hope you've had a wonderful time. Thank you one and all for being with us. It's very exciting to me that people all over the world can tune in and do tune in, because I get messages from folks through my website and they say, oh, I listened to your podcast when I'm driving, or however they fit it in during the course of their day. And that is so cool. It's very, a lot of fun and very exciting to me. So we've done it again. Another show. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.